Well, happy Thursday afternoon and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Of course, always brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Tom Couch, Gus Couch with you. Gus, the upcoming sports schedule, we got another look at MHMA. Tomorrow night as we're going to see them get out of the conference a little bit. We're going to see Troy come to Atchison for a 7 o'clock ball game at Guy Gallic Field. And then Saturday, only Benedictine's second road game of the year, will be traveling to Oskaloosa, Iowa. The Ravens at William Penn. And don't listen like around noon because that's not when it's happening. It is a 5 o'clock game late Saturday afternoon and into the evening. So we'll be talking about that as we move along. But first, we'll kind of take a little bit look back over our shoulders at the things that went on last Friday night and across the Meadowlark League. Man, this conference, it loves itself some points, okay? I mean, because there are some teams who can light it up.
There's some teams that can score a lot of points. There are also a lot of road teams that had a good day. It was a bad night for the home teams last Friday night.
Yeah, everybody on the road won. Everybody at home did not. Atchison, a definitive win at Schlegel, 54-8. Similarly, Highland Park, a 40-8-6 win at Harmon. Washington, this surprised me maybe a little bit, as they went to Wamego winning 53-6. And in the closest game in the conference, it was Sumner getting by Wyandotte 33-20. So for the Phoenix, Gus, the undefeated season continues.
Yeah, you look at the league standings right now. Highland Park at 4-0, Atchison at 3-0 in league standings, Washington at 2-0. Schlegel is 2-2, Sumner 1-3, Wyandotte and Harmon still looking for their first wins of the season.
Looking at the NEKL from last Friday, again, there were some big points scored. Check it out. Pleasant Ridge, 55-16 at MHMA. Rossville flanked Atchison County, 70-0. It was Jackson Heights at home, 36-7 winners over Riverside. JCN, 52 points to McLeod 6. It was Mission Valley over Valley Falls, 36-8. Couple of more one-sided games. St. Mary's, 57-6 over Oskaloosa. And Horton falls at Nemaha Central, 69-0.
So looking at the league standard in the Northeast Kansas League, you have Jackson Heights, JCN, both undefeated. Then you have McLeod and ACCHS at 2-1, Valley Falls at 1-1, then Pleasant Ridge at 2-2, Oskaloosa at 1-2, Horton and Moorhill Mount Academy looking for their first wins in the league.
So again, some really good teams in that NEKL, and coming up this Friday, full slates, and there's some, I think, some very interesting contests. First of all, Atchison is going to be home. They haven't been home a lot. They're going to be home with Washington tomorrow night. It'll be Highland Park traveling to Missouri. They're going to go to Lincoln Prep.
Lincoln Prep is one of those teams who, you know, pop onto a Kansas City Atchison League schedules, but the Meadowlark, right? They will see a few games against these Meadowlark opponents throughout the season.
It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't end up in that conference at some point. I mean, if they weren't across the state line.
I was going to say, is Lincoln Prep, is it Columbia? Or is it in Kansas City?
KC. That was in KC.
Okay. So, you know, but they are a team that seems like they do pop up on a handful of those schedules. So
Harmon's at home hosting Wyandotte, and it's S&S, Schlegel at Sumner. In the NEKL, first of all, again, we'll lead off with the game that we're going to be seeing, as it's Troy at Moorhill Mount Academy Friday night. ACCHS will travel to Pleasant Ridge. Should be a really good game. I'm looking forward to seeing how that shakes out. Minneapolis at Horton. It'll be JCN at Oskaloosa. Mission Valley goes to McLeod. Jackson Heights at Centralia. Valley Falls at St. Mary's. And you can see the district play affecting these schedules because there are, you know, there are what? One, two. There are two games between conference teams this week.
Yeah, and again, we talked about it last week, but for me it's just so weird that we're not even to October yet, and we're talking about district football.
And, by the way, we're going to try to keep our ear out because next week is the Acacia meeting on Salina where they decide how football districts are going to work for the next 2 years. So we'll see if we can't keep you up to speed on how that all shakes out next week. So, again, big weekend of high school football. And go to mscsports.net, check out the schedules, go out, support your favorite team. Taking a break. We'll be back as Sports Look continues right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on a Thursday evening on Camp Radio. Gus Benedictine, I tell you what, don't know if they've looked better this year than they did last Saturday. As we watched them at home again. They defeated Culver Stockton, and it was an impressive beatdown.
Yeah, it was one of those things. Why did Culver Stockton get off the bus, right? They finished the day, Culver Stockton did, -3 yards rushing on the afternoon. And that's not something new for Benedictine, because if you remember on the same day, just back in, was it 1993, I believe, Benedictine was able to hold Culver Stockton to -6 yards rushing. So holding Culver to negative yards is not something new for the Ravens. 112 total yards is how Culver Stockton finished the day on 51 plays. Benedictine ran 89 plays for 517 yards. Right, and I always think a decent game is anywhere from 65 to 70 plays. So when you jump up to 89 plays, you've got another 19, 20 plays in off the day that you just weren't expecting.
Yeah, and what I like about it is we got a chance to get a little bit of a look into the crystal ball, a little look at the future, because we saw a lot of young guys get to play not just a minute or two, but some significant minutes in the course of that game. And, boy, I tell you what, we saw some guys who looked pretty good.
Yeah, we saw some younger guys who played well. One of the guys I think that jumps off the page at you right away was, we'll bury the lead real quick. We'll come back around to Blake. But I think it was Sean Mora who rushed the ball 9 times for 74 yards. I mean, that's an 8.2-yard per carry clip. That's not a bad start for him. Dalton didn't have a terrible day, 11 carries for 66. So, you know, you're right at that 6 yards a carry. Jonah Roberts ran the ball well. Your receivers, you expect things from, you know, Jacob Gathright and Chayshon Todd, but I'm going to tell you, those two finished the day with less than 100 combined yards between the two of them. You got guys like Cameron Dover, 3 for 42. Matthew Sanford had 4 catches for 37 and a touchdown. So some of those younger guys got into the mix as the day progressed.
However, with all of those great things said, you're holding off. You're saving the big news, because not only, as we were talking during the broadcast, we were thinking Conference Player of the Week numbers. We didn't maybe realize that we were talking National Player of the Week honors for Blake Dupkus.
Yeah, so for Blake, he had what? 2 blocked punts, one of them for a safety, the other one pinned the ball like at the inside the 5, or it was inside the 5, they scored a touchdown shortly thereafter, and then he flies down as a gunner and downs the ball at the 1-yard line, right? That's a fantastic day. Just to block one punt is great, but he timed 2, was able to block them, a big afternoon for Blake, and, you know, not only the Conference Player of the Week, but you mentioned it, the National Player of the Week on special teams in the country.
Now, here's one of the things with Benedictine. If you think that you know all of the names of the players, you know, and you're at your, you know, 4 or 5 games into the season, and yeah, you kind of got them down pat, don't kid yourself, because it seems like every week we are seeing new guys out on the field, hearing new names, because for Coach Osborne and this staff, it's all about, I'm putting out the best 11.
Yeah, and not just the same names, like new names, but maybe some of those names in positions we're not used to seeing them play, right? Like, I mean, there are guys on this team that, you know, let's rewind to last year. Harry Balke is the guy who started the year as a tight end slash kind of receiver type. Played really well at that position. As the season progressed, they said, hey, I hear you kicked in high school. He said, yeah, I can kick. Next thing you know, he turns around, and he's one of the better kickers in the conference. So this team has been able to find a way to take players out of maybe their original positions when they got to college and kind of transition them into positions that really work for this team. And again, you're trying to get the best 11 on the field. So yeah, kind of fun, kind of interesting week by week to see, you know, different guys pop up at different positions, you know. I think that's what you use the JV game for. You know, maybe a guy on defense can turn around and run the ball for you. You know what I mean?
You never know.
I hear it's been known to happen. So
it can happen.
Yeah, I think that's what's kind of cool about being able to find those 11, and that's where you have to be able to adjust and work yourself into finding the best guys to put out on the field.
Big slate of games coming up around the Heart of America Athletic Conference this week as we're about ready to wrap up the non-division play.
Yeah, we're kind of right there, right? We got this is it, I guess.
Yes.
This is next week is the off week.
Correct.
So this will be your last out of division play. Next week is off, and then the week after that we're going to get into the interdivision play. Last week though saw a lot of bad weather around the area, especially in central Missouri, as that Missouri Valley Grandview game got started, went into a long weather delay, and if I were Valley, I would have told Grandview, you guys just go home, drive safe, see you later. They continued to play that game, and when it was all said and done, Grandview won Odin's Cup 70-7. I think that was a little bit of a shocker because people are looking at Valley saying, hey, the 3-0, maybe they're a little better. Maybe not. It's just playing that other division. You know, Mid-America comes back down 24, scores 27 unanswered to beat Clark. Peru State beats Baptist and Baker over Graceland 45-42. But William Penn, who was at Central Methodist, they decided, well, we're not going to get this game in. Turned around, played it Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Penn comes away with a 35-17 win there. So they're going to end up with one day fewer of preparation for this Benedictine game.
Yeah, and the things that I think about are the logistics of having to keep a football team over until a second day. Where do you put them? How do you feed them? I mean, how do you transport these people? There are so many things that are involved. It's not just saying, you know what, we'll just play it tomorrow. It is just not that easy. And that's why you see these teams willing to wait around, like we saw at Marshall, half of the night to get a game complete.
It's not a basketball team, right? Yeah. You know, like
you don't have a dozen guys on a van.
Get you three rooms and figure it out, okay? So there's a lot of logistical pieces that go into play there, and I think it's one of those things that you just sit there and you go, glad it's not me that has to deal with that. Hey, there is a full slate of games going on in the conference this week, all of them except for one in the afternoon. There are two 12 o'clock slates. Baker will be at Culver Stockton. Central Methodist will be at Grandview. The 1 o'clock game will be Missouri Baptist traveling to Clark. At 2 o'clock, you'll see Valley at Peru, Mid-America at Graceland. I think that could be an interesting game to keep an eye on. And then the 5 o'clock game is we'll be up at Family Weekend in Oskaloosa, Iowa. 5 o'clock kickoff is Penn hosting Benedictine.
So we'll be able to report on all the final scores by the time we get started with that one. How about that? Well, I tell you what, stick around. We're talking about Benedictine football. We're going to talk to Javai Blomquist. Hey, great player, defensive guy on this Benedictine team. Incredible interview. Nice guy. You're going to like it. That and then more Sports Look right after this. We've got Javai Blomquist with us, defensive back for the Benedictine Ravens. Javai, it's good to talk to you, young man. How you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, let's start with let's just go to the background. Let's get a little Javai biography. Tell me about home and where you're from.
So I'm from San Diego, California, grew up in City Heights, moved to Northern San Diego, been playing football since I was 5 years old, and ever since then, you know, just been grinding, so.
Got siblings, brothers, sisters?
Yes, I do. I have four sisters and one brother, so, you know, I love those guys. I'm the oldest of six, so, you know, like to do a lot with them. My mom, dad, you know, love them.
Are they athletic, your siblings? Are they ball
players?
No,
actually I'm the first football player in my family, so that's something that I get to hold like an accolade of some sort, so definitely.
Okay, and Madison High School, right?
Yes, sir. Went to Madison High School.
Go Warhawks?
Yes, go Warhawks. Under coach Rick Jackson. We did a whole lot out there. We had a lot of success, but unfortunately didn't get to win any championships. But, you know, hopefully we get to do it out here.
See, I was going to ask you, so how good was the team? Was it pretty good then?
Yeah, we were pretty good. We went to, like, the third round of playoffs my junior year. But, you know, senior year, COVID had happened and everything, and never really got the chance to see where we could go with that. So,
well, tell me a little bit about, here's a Southern California guy. But here you are in the heartland. Now, how'd you end up coming from out there to here?
Honestly, I had to sit down with my parents and talk to them. Benedictine was one of my only options out of the COVID season that I could come to. So, you know, we came out here, checked it out, and I loved it. It was super cold, though. You know, it was something that was different. But weighed out my options and came out here and loved it ever since.
Were you one of the guys who had never seen snow till you came to Atchison?
Yeah, I had never seen snow until I came out here in February of 2020 or 2021, I believe. So, yep.
I had to buy a coat when you got here?
Yeah, I had to get my first coat. I had never had a coat. Didn't have any. I had to get like the under, I forget what those are called, the thermals.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely interesting for the first time. And I loved it when I first came out here, but now the snow gets on my nerve a little bit. So.
it kind of gets that way after a while.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Okay, when you were in high school, obviously football guy, but were you a multi-sport guy, or was football just kind of the thing?
I played basketball for the first 2 years of my high school career, but after a while I stopped doing that and stuck to football and track. So I was a dual sport athlete, but never, you know, played any other sports other than track and football for the most part.
Madison, your team, are there any of your teammates who went on to play, you know, after high school football?
In my class, not that I, oh, actually Chris Jackson, he's playing at Mesa College right now. So he's doing his thing over there. But outside of that, Herman Smith, he's at Idaho State right now. And yeah, a few guys for sure. But
okay, let's talk about important stuff. Academics. Tell me about your major and things.
Oh, I'm currently business management, thinking about doing sports management as well. Don't necessarily know what I want to do with that, but I know I want to do some kind of entrepreneurial work and, you know, own my own business. So
if I decide, like, I'm going to go pro, I should call you? You're going to be, like, my agent?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I get you right. I definitely, whatever you need, you know, I'm going to look for one thing that a million people have a problem with and try to fix it, especially if it's like an efficiency thing or something of that nature.
So when you came to Benedictine, I mean, sure, you made a visit and you were here for a weekend and kind of got to see the place. But when you got here, what was it like compared to maybe what you thought you were going to get yourself into? How is it the same as you thought or maybe different than you expected?
It was definitely different coming out here, small town, you know, as compared to San Diego. The people were a lot nicer. It was very interesting to see that. The coaches all knew my name, and I don't know. It was just like the vibe is a lot different in a small town like Atchison and like Benedictine, but it was definitely interesting. I loved it. You know, we had so much fun coming out here, especially with my parents and stuff for the first time. It was definitely nice.
Is your family, it's a long trip. Does your family get an opportunity to ever come and get to see a game?
Yes, they will be coming out here this weekend, actually. They come out here tomorrow, but they'll be out here for the game and all of those things. They come out like once a year. Everybody comes down and we have like a good time. They'll either stay in Kansas City or Atchison area and we'll all get together in an Airbnb and just, you know, have a good time.
So we're bringing brothers, sisters are coming along too.
One of my sisters is coming, so I'm definitely excited to see her. But hopefully, I can get the rest of my siblings to come out here soon.
Let's talk a little bit about you and this football team. The defense has just been, I think, has been lights out so far this year. Tell me about the group and the fact that I feel like this is a tight knit bunch of guys.
Man, those guys keep me grounded, man. We're definitely super tight knit. You know, I don't know what I'll do without those guys, man. You know, we work hard every day. We preach every day to, you know, be brothers and be tight and to work hard together. So it's like that translates to the field whenever we're out there battling with each other. We trust each other to do our job, and that's what we do. And then it all just ends up working out in the end, you know what I mean? Nobody is thinking that they're above the next person. You know, we all know our jobs and know our responsibilities, and we do it all to a high level.
Javai Blomquist with us, Benedictine defensive back, and I go with defensive back, even though in a program and on my boards I put you down as a safety, but let's talk a little bit about the position that you play? Because, again, you're listed as a safety. I look at you and I see your size. I'm thinking safety. And yet, I'm going to some of the games and, you know, thinking back, and I think particularly maybe the Grandview game last year, mm-hmm. I see you as a linebacker line. I see you rushing the quarterback. I mean, tell me about that. How does that all come together, man?
So for our position, it's different because we have a hybrid position, which is called the star. And the star, as a star, we play like a linebacker safety type of hybrid, and we have to learn all of the positions during practice and in our position meetings. So I did that for a good amount of time last year, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, I'd like to be back deep and make plays. So it's definitely we definitely do a lot with that. The safety position is very versatile on this team. But, yeah, that's basically what that is.
So practice. I come up, I watch practice quite a bit. Just got done watching you guys do practice before we get together here today. And is it as intense as I think it is, and is it complicated? Because I look at the defense and I'm thinking, it's not just see the ball, chase the ball. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of trusting your eyes. And on our defense, you have to really know every position, especially as the safety. So it could be very complex and complicated to someone that's looking at it for the first time. But, yeah, it's definitely a lot to look at. But we have to know all the positions on the field, like I said, as a safety. And during practice, we play with high intensity, high energy at all times. So you're doing that and you're working hard and you're doing all these rotations and stuff. And it's like, you know. So
who's your read? I mean, when you're looking at the offense, they come out and then they're shifting around. Are you following somebody? Are you looking to see, okay, there's one guy in the backfield, so I got to be over here? Yeah, how's that go?
I guess as the star, really, your first read is off of the linebacker a lot of the time, or off of the running back a lot of the time. So based off of what they're doing, you know, you adjust yourself off of those plays that we call. But we do run a lot of plays, and really just off of our plays, it's a lot of different jobs and responsibilities that you have doing that. But it's not really one key read that you have. It's like in the moment as the play is going along and you're seeing things happening, you have to adjust yourself based off of that. So
no time for the coach to telegraph in and say, hey, you got to do this. You have to be able to be
right.
the guy
yeah.
on the spot.
Yeah, they definitely can't hold your hand, and we don't do that here. You know, they put a lot on us, and they give us a lot of responsibility to have to make these plays and do the things that we do, but we like it that way, you know, and it makes it better for us as a squad to trust each other and do things with each other and talk about the plays with each other and then go out and, you know, execute.
Javai Blomquist is with us here as a Benedictine defensive back, and the season, a couple of bumps along the way, but you know what? There's a long road ahead and a bright future for this team. The team's still feeling good, aren't they?
Yeah, no, most definitely. We still feel that we're playing, or we can play to a higher level, play at a championship level, and we do. We work so hard every day over the summer, and you know, just seeing the stuff come along, even though it's been a couple bumps in the road. You know, we're going to get over those bumps and, you know, win, or hopefully, you know, God willingly, win the championship. And we're all on the same page with that. You know, nobody has lost faith or lost hope in any of in the program or the team or anything like that. So we're definitely excited. Even though the humps are there, you know, we're going to overcome it. You know, no championship level team is ever going to be, you know, not having any adversity. So.
Okay, so you talked about staying around. Were you one of the many players who spent the summer here?
Yeah, we definitely had like 120 players stay over the summer, and that definitely made a big difference, at least, you know, with the chemistry on this team. It's very good chemistry. We work every day, you know, play blood, sweat, and tears with the person next to your left and to your right. So
what was your summer job? This is gonna be good.
I worked at Wendy's for half of the summer. And then when I was back home for the beginning of May. So when I was back home, I was working in a nursing facility, and I was doing like a sitter job where I was watching the clients and things of that nature. So when I came out here, I was looking for some, and then I ended up working at Wendy's, and I actually enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun.
You see a lot of people. You meet a lot of folks,
right,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was nice because, you know, you've seen all the people that are, like, in Kansas. It's a lot of different people, a lot of different individuals. And being out there, you know, definitely gave me a broader perspective about what Kansas is about. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay. let's say someday, and I have never been to Southern California, okay? We'll start with that. Mm-hmm. So let's say someday that I go to San Diego, mm-hmm. and I have to give you a call because you're going to take me out. Where are we going to go to eat, and what are we going to have? Because if I'm going out there, I'm going to have to depend on you, you know, to kind of show me the right place. Tell me where we go.
I'll probably take you to Alberto's Taco Shop, and we would have to get the carne asada fries or a California burrito. San Diego is known, or California at least, is well known for their taco shop, so that's definitely one of my favorite places to go to when I'm out there.
So this is like a regular restaurant, not a food truck.
It's like a little corner. It doesn't even have like a dine-in area. Like, you have to drive through and pick your order up, and then you drive out. Like, it's just a drive-in, drive-through. It's really nice. It's not super nice. It's all yellow and red. I love it, though. It's very good.
Okay, as a young man who is, you know, you've traveled some. I mean, you've been West Coast. You've been here in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. You've been in school. You've had jobs, you know, and working and doing a lot of things. Let's say one of your, you know, a war hawk comes up to you, a young man in school, says, mm-hmm. man, Javai, you know, I'm trying to decide what to do. Give me a little advice. What kind of advice do you give a young person here today?
I would tell that young person to be prepared really for anything, any situation that you go into. There's a lot of ups and downs, you know, but at the end of the day, we are a brotherhood here, and, you know, we work hard. So if you can do those two things and follow along and, you know, fall in line, then you would definitely be fit for here. But, you know, like I said, we work hard, and sometimes that can be an issue for some folks. So it's like, as long as you know that you can work hard and you can, you know, be a brother and enjoy your time here, then it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a real fun time.
Who'd you turn to for advice? Who was your mentor? I mean, obviously your father certainly was, but were there other individuals in your life that, you know, that kind of gave you good advice, or who you looked at them and said, man, I'm going to model myself after this individual, and because they're doing what I want to do?
My mom was a big role model of mine just growing up in general. I love her to death. She works hard every single day, and, you know, I kind of bring that mindset to, you know, the field every single day, at least. You know, she's the hardest working person that I know, so seeing that every day, you know, motivates me to do better every single day, and I love it. I love her to death. You know, also Coach Jackson, he's my high school head coach. I looked up to him a lot, you know, looked to him for advice for a lot of the college things, the college situations that I was going to end up in, or, you know, possible situations, and he gave me a lot of good advice, and, you know, it's a big part of the reason why I'm here today. You know, he told me to take a risk and, you know, trust myself, and ever since then, taking that advice has just helped me elevate to a whole new level, so.
Outstanding. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. You've got things to do, but I've got one more question. I've been asking all the guys this question, and it's like the hardest question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Which is it?
Spider-Man.
Okay. how was that?
Spider-Man's been my favorite. He's definitely been my favorite superhero growing up. But he's just super agile. He's super strong. He has a personality. He's super funny. So it's like, I feel like Superman and Batman are super serious and always trying to just do too much. Like, honestly, they do too much. And Spider-Man, you know, he's always there to help individuals, but he has fun while doing it, and, you know, that's kind of how I like to live my life. So
there you go. Javai Blomquist, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, young man. I appreciate you taking your time, and wish you very good success in the classroom, on the field. Go Ravens, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It was a pleasure speaking to you as well.
Sports Hill continues here on KAIRFM Horton Atchison. Don't forget to stick around. Immediately following this, there are coaches' inside shows. We're even adding another one. You know, just because we're partway through the season doesn't mean we're done adding coach interviews. We've added McLeod this week to join all of the others who are still with us. So, that said, we like to look at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bears didn't like looking at the Kansas City Chiefs. You talk about one-sided games. I don't know. It was just surprising to me that it looked that easy.
Yeah. I really for a while thought, and we don't see it in the NFL, but I thought maybe we were going to see a shutout for a minute. The Kansas City defense looks really good. The offense started to click, and some of that too is That Bears team is a long ways away from anything, right? I mean, they just, they don't look like, there are some teams that are bad and you say, hey, they're young, they're trending towards this. That Bears team has a weird mix of players, and I don't see where they're headed. You know, I mean, like, do you keep your quarterback? Is Fields able to do it? Is he not able to do it? You know, do you blow it up, start over again with a new quarterback this offseason? Having a defensive-minded coach, you still gave up 41 points this, you know, against Kansas City, which Kansas City is a good offense, but 41's a lot of points in the NFL, especially when they just stopped at halftime. What, in a week that saw one team score 70 points, the Chiefs had the biggest half of football, right? They led 34 to nothing, I think, at the half, which was one of the bigger halves all of last season, too. I think only one team got to 35, you know, leading by 35 at any point in a game last year. So that tells you that, man, it was just not a good day to be a Bears fan. But for the Chiefs, how about that defense right now? I think they're kind of the unsung heroes because as Chiefs fans, we're like, all right, you got 15, you're going to be fine. But if you got a defense that's going to maybe be, you know, right now they're trending towards a top five type defense, all of a sudden you're like, 15 has to do a lot less.
Yeah. But the offense continues to improve also. We saw a couple of our the Chiefs receivers emerge and play better than they had for quite a while. And then, just to put a little icing on this cake, the Chiefs added another receiver, probably a quality receiver last week.
Yeah, they added another receiver, yesterday? So it was one of those things where it's not a bad thing. I think what that also signals, though, is that Richie James will probably find himself on the year-ending IR because he's one of those guys who got hurt. They signed a return man on Friday. I thought he returned the punt
pretty nice job on Sunday.
So, you know, and I think it's his job going forward. You try to beef up that room. The other thing I think I like to see, did you realize that Kansas City got all three running backs in the end zone on Sunday?
Guess I didn't.
Yeah. McKinnon gets in there, Pacheco gets in there, Clyde Edwards gets a touchdown. So when it's all said and done, you found a way to get all three of your running backs into the end zone. So
I'm still looking for him to trade Clyde for something.
I do too. I keep thinking that, but have you noticed, and I laughed the other day, I watched the first touchdown, I'm like, wait, was Clyde in there? And I rewound it, and I looked, I'm like, no. You notice when the running backs get in the end zone, Clyde is the first guy out on the field to congratulate whoever it was that got in the end zone, which tells me that that's probably a pretty tight running back room, which is great to have. So at that point, it also makes me think maybe they'll just hold on to him because, again, tight-knit group, you can never have somebody or too many guys that can step in at any time.
Well, the Chiefs are going to line it back up again against the Jets. Wow. Here's a team that, starting with the fourth play of the season, it's just gone nothing but bad.
Yeah. Do you think that the network, the clamor for that 7:21 game, it's going to be Mahomes, it's going to be Rodgers.
It was a brilliant plan. You are just salivating waiting for this game.
And now you're like, man, nobody wants to watch this game. I mean, Chiefs fans don't even really want to watch this game. I watched Zach Wilson get booed last week against the Patriots. I think it's just one of those things where right now the Jets are struggling, but you listen to Kansas City. I mean, they're talking about how good of a team the Jets are because their defense is decent enough. I think that's where this game comes down to is if Kansas City can score some points, they'll be okay because this Jets defense is somewhat stingy.
Tonight, you get your NFL fix with a black and blue division game, Lions at Packers. I think it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, it should be. The Packers are playing good football. The Lions
Chiefs
are
know
playing,
how good the Lions are.
Yeah, the Lions are playing good football. So I do think that it should be an okay game. Detroit, a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is pretty low at 46. I think it should be an okay game. It's just neither of those teams move the needle for me.
American diplomacy took a big hit when they decided to send the Falcons and the Jags to London for a Sunday game because these two teams do nothing for me.
You know what this game does for me?
No.
Have you seen the previews for it?
No.
They're going to do Toy Story football with this, right? You know how last year we had Slime Vision and things like that?
Yeah. We had Nickelodeon
stuff. If you want to see it, go out there and Google Toy Story London game.
Okay.
Because they're going to do the game in real time, except they're going to do it like as a Toy Story thing. It's kind of neat. Kind of different.
Cohen like it?
It will be for sure Romy for sure will enjoy it. But I think it's one of those things where you have two really bad teams anyway, so let's find some way to church it up a little
bit. I'm not a Toy Story guy. It's too sad for me, man.
Yeah, see.
I can't do the sad thing. You know, give me something ridiculous and funny. That's all I want.
I remember years ago when, you know, the men's basketball team up here at the college, we would go to, you know, a specific place to eat after the game.
Yeah.
And that's when Toy Story first came out, and you were always trying to get the Buzz. You always got Woody, but you never got Buzz.
Buzz Lightyear was the rare one. Hey, the Dolphins are going to be at the Bills as a noon Sunday game. Fins are real.
Yeah, that's a game that really should probably be the Sunday night game, because I think this will be a really good game. The Dolphins scored 70 points the other day. They're just hitting on all cylinders. The Bills have just kind of been stagnant this year, so I think this will be a good find out for both teams. Buffalo a 2.5-point favorite, which tells me, you know, they're getting 3 points at home.
Seahawks are going to be the Monday night game as they travel to the Giants. And you got a couple of teams there, guys, who need, when I'm going to get a win that they really need, I guess is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, two teams that are quite a distance apart. But, yeah, when it's all said and done, somebody's got to come away with a win. The Giants haven't looked good this year. The Seahawks have just kind of been there. So, I don't know. I mean, there are not a lot of games on the NFL schedule this year that just jump out at me. Or this week.
NCAA contests on Saturday include nationally ranked Kansas. They're going to be at No. 3 Texas. But you got to remember, Texas won't forget what Kansas did.
Yeah, Kansas broke that long, you know, losing streak in the Big 12 against Texas at Darrell Royal Stadium. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen. So if you're a Kansas fan, look at the number 24 ranking this week, because
it's gone.
It's not going to probably be there next week. Yeah, I think this could be a long day for Kansas at Texas. Texas is a 16.5-point favorite.
But Kansas State is going to get a week off, idle this week, you know, and they'll hold on to that that national ranking and be ready to roll.
Yeah, they're a team who, you know, got a nice win last week. They're going to sit here right now, take a week off, and then it'll be right into a tough schedule. I mean, this Big 12 schedule is becoming difficult.
Talk about difficult for the way Notre Dame lost their game last week.
Was that just not classic Notre Dame football?
That was brutal, man. And so this week, Notre Dame is going to pack up the bus and head over to Duke. So number 11, Notre Dame at number 17, Duke. That's going to be a Saturday evening game, 6:30 ball game. And Irish are favored by a half dozen.
Yeah. You know, Notre Dame is a team who has to right the ship after that. I don't know. I mean, I think Duke, though, has been one of those teams. I got to watch them a couple weeks ago on their primetime game, and they look pretty legit against Clemson. So I think that, you know, Notre Dame's going to have to show up ready to play against that Duke team.
Just like Nebraska's going to have to, because number 2 Michigan is going to be coming into Lincoln Saturday, 2:30 ball game.
Nebraska could start scoring touchdowns now and not beat Michigan. I mean, will Nebraska – okay, here's a better question. Will Nebraska ever get back to what it was?
Ever? Ever's a long time.
Ever's a long time.
Yeah, ever. Yes, okay. Eventually. Yeah.
So let's say in the next 10 years. Can they be anything that anybody cares about?
In the next 5, they will be okay. Huh? And by okay, I mean bowl eligible.
Okay. I guess where I'm at is – Kansas went from the worst football team in NCAA football, and within 3 years of Lance Leipold, he's got them in the national standings. They're playing well. I think Kansas moves the needle of the national college football more than Nebraska does right now.
Well, we go to, of course, there's one more game that you don't have on your list that we got to see what's Prime doing.
You're going to tell me USC and Colorado.
I was going to say.
Okay.
Got Trojans at Buffaloes at Folsom Field Stadium in Boulder Saturday. And it is, we can watch this entire game and still make it to Oskaloosa.
Yeah, so it's an 11 o'clock Central,
right? Right. It's 10 a.m. Mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. So, back that up. It is 9 a.m. Los Angeles time.
Correct.
Right? So USC, for them, it's a 9 a.m. type game. And so I think they're a team who has struggled to get things like going quickly into games. This is a game that, you know, I don't think USC loses, but I also don't think they score up a whole bunch of points because, again, this game will be done by noon L.A. time.
Colorado's got too much pride after what last week went up to them last week to let that happen back-to-back weeks, I think. Hey, Care Radio's football schedule is full, and it starts tomorrow night as it'll be Marhill Mount Academy up at Guy Galley Field. Troy is coming to town. We'll be there 7 o'clock for the kickoff, and then Saturday early evening. 4:45 pregame, it'll be the Ravens at William Penn. Kickoff at 5. Gotta thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Stick around. Coach's Insights coming up next. Till we greet you next time for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz. So long, everybody.